I want you to look again this morning, Psalm 59. You'll notice how often the whole idea of mercy is presented in this text. Verse 5, in the last line, you'll notice, uses the word merciful. Be not merciful to any transgressors. And then in verse 10, you'll notice a phrase that is used twice in this psalm. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. The last line of verse 17, you'll notice, uses the exact same expression where it says, God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Those being the very last words of the chapter. And then, of course, I want you to notice our text verse where the mercy of God is attached in a very familiar way to a certain time of day. Verse 16, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Now, the reason we say that in this case, the mercy of God has this, quote, familiar attachment is that this is not the only time in the Bible where God's mercy is associated with the morning. Psalm 143, verse 8 uses the exact same Hebrew word when it says, cause me to hear thy mercy in the morning. Psalm 92:2, the exact same Hebrew word says, it is a good thing to show forth thy mercy, loving kindness, in the morning. And of course, you're all familiar with Lamentations 3:22. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new, what? Every morning. The mercy of God and the morning hour. Why? Why are these two things so often put together in the Word of God? Well, I can assure you of this. David knew why. And Jeremiah knew why. And our Lord Jesus understood why in John chapter 17. And folks, far from being a coincidence or an accident or even incidental or unintentional, this meeting of the morning with God's mercy in the heart of God and the heart of man is the perfect counsel of God for an imperfect people. We're making their way through this pilgrim journey. And so I hope you'll listen very carefully. I want to speak on that little phrase in verse 16, mercy in the morning. Father, we need your help today. And we know that these words are not by accident, it's not by chance, that centuries apart, writers of the Scripture were inspired to put in pen and on paper the same union of acknowledging and singing and recognizing your mercy every single morning. May we understand why. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of you here this morning know that the word prevent literally means to go before. The old English word, it means to precede. So when verse 10 in this text says, the God of my mercy shall prevent me, the literal meaning is this. It means the mercy that God extends to me goes before me today. It precedes me today. So that the mercy of God is not just something that I may need every night at the end of the day, but rather it is something that I always need and will need before I ever get there at the end of the day. So the psalmist says, I will sing of thy mercy in the morning. Jeremiah says his mercies are new every morning. Every time there's a brand new day. As a Christian, as a child of God, God's mercy precedes, prevents you. Well, the question is, do I know this? Do you know this? Do I recognize this? Do I appreciate it, understand it? Do I appropriate it by faith? David certainly tried. He said, I will sing aloud. I will sing out loud of his mercy in the morning. The psalmist said it is good to show forth his mercy in the morning. So, with that in mind, there are specifically three things that I want you to notice in this text, in as much as there are two parts to every single day of our lives. Every day contains a morning. That's a sunrise. And every single day contains an evening. That's a sunset. Just as surely as I am standing here today, everybody in this room has a certain routine or a list of things that you do both at the beginning and at the ending of every single day. The bookends of the day, as the poet once called it, they always determine what the rest of the day entails. And of course, nobody knows this better than does the God of creation, the one who declared in Genesis 1:5, the evening and the morning were the first day. And why? Why is it so vital, so important that mercy, the mercy of God, be a vital part of our morning routine? Well, again, there are three things that I want you to notice, all three of which are biblical elements of divine mercy, beginning with the most obvious one of the three, and that is number one, the loving kindness of God. We talked about it a little last Sunday. You see, God's mercy is first and foremost demonstrated to you by God's love for you. And of course, we know that in part because, as we said, the Hebrew word for mercy in the Old Testament and the Hebrew word for loving kindness, though they're different in the English, they're the exact same word. They are interchangeable. Which means, very simply, that God's counsel to us as His people is to make sure that every morning and in the morning, that at the beginning of every new day, you understand and you appreciate first the love and the loving kindness of God. Let me put it to you this way. Psalm 59 talks about being God's man here, God's anointed in the midst of this present world. You'll notice the language in verse 1, quote, "mine enemies." Them that rise up against me. Look at verse 2. The workers of iniquity. Verse 3. They lie in wait. Verse 6. They return at evening. And so it goes throughout this entire chapter. Yes, Christians are always on the winning team, but we're not always on the home team. You know, when you go to Walmart, and you do go to Walmart, and you decide that you're going to use one of their carts, one of their shopping carts, which some of you call a buggy. I don't know. That's a Yankee term. I've heard it from a few of you. A buggy, a cart. When you choose at Walmart this cart, what do you know is going to happen? You know that the chances are that cart is lame. It's going to pull, right? It's going to steer one way or the other. Even a brand new one, I'm convinced that when they make them in China, they make them to pull to the left no matter what. Amen. It's the ones that are broken that actually go straight, I've learned. All right, so here's the picture. You're traveling down the store aisle and you grab a cart. Now, that aisle, say this aisle, represents life in this world, actually a day in your life in this world. And so throughout the day, on the one side, you have all kinds of people and issues and enemies and forces that are described in this text that is described in the New Testament epistles. You understand, folks, they have not disappeared from the earth since the days of King David. They're just now hired by MSNBC, and they live down the street, and they work next to your cubicle. And every day of your life, you will encounter people or circumstances. They don't love God. They don't love you. They don't encourage you. They don't edify you. These are all these negative forces lined up on this side, let's say, of the aisle, so that you know what the last thing you need? The last thing you need as a child of God is to start your day in the morning, every day, with a cart, if you will, that constantly pulls you in that direction, or more specifically, with a heart that's leaning or leading you there towards the flesh, towards discontentment. Towards people that are covetous, materialistic, or shallow. Constantly, therefore, turning and focusing your mind and your thoughts on those who do not love God or people that are bitter or angry or vengeful. Again, folks, you don't need to be drawn toward the scornful. What you need each morning, if anything, is to be drawn toward this side. That is, pulled in the direction of whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are true and just and honest. Aren't you glad you sat on this side instead of this side today? Amen. Well, how do you do that? How do you start out in the morning not being pulled over here, as so many are, even believers, but being pulled over here? Well, the psalmist says, start the day out, begin the rigors and challenges of every new day by singing and acknowledging and showing forth the mercy and the loving kindness of God. In other words, focus on this love and loving kindness aspect of God's mercy in the morning. And you know that all day long your heart will pull you in the right direction. You will know and be reminded of who you are and of whose you are. If you don't do that and you get up in the morning and you go about your business and the first thing you do is get in your iPad and you read the news and it's all bad and your mind is not focused on God's mercy. If you don't focus on the goodness of God in the land of the living, on the kindness of God's mercy, then you will start out every day potentially with self-pity and ingratitude. Nobody loves me. Nobody understands me. Life's not fair. Essentially denying the kindness and the love and the goodness of God that He demonstrates to you every moment of every day. And then you'll be pulled this way all day long as you go forward, pulled. You'll notice and you will focus on and you will be affected by these things that offend, these things that break down and discourage all day long. Like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you will embrace the very things that hurt and damage and debilitate your spirit, because Satan's lies are old every morning. But here's that same believer who wakes up in the morning instead of feeling sorry for himself, instead of starting the day with his back to God. This time he shows forth the mercy of God in the morning. Might even sing about it. Might even shout about it. He thinks about the mercy of God, the loving kindness of God, so that, you know what? He knows that at the very beginning of the day, he is loved by God. He knows that that love is experienced by God's kindness, God's goodness. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Guess what? All through the day, as that cart is pulled in that direction, he's going to notice God's goodness. He's going to notice things big and small that God has done for him because God loves him. What a difference a day will make. It is a good thing to show forth the loving kindness of God, the mercy of God in the morning. Look, let me ask you this question. What do you do every single morning? Now, we know what the scriptures say about our Lord Jesus rising a great while before the day. We know what David said evening and morning and at noon. What do you do? What is your routine every single morning? Are you one of those "I have to have my coffee" people? I remember after Hurricane Francis, we all lost our power. Remember that? Remember that, Jay and Jeannie? Remember those good old days? Hurricane Jeannie, amen, was a pain. Remember, you were in the little meeting, I think it was Katrina maybe, I'm not sure, but we all met in the church, about 10 of us, no power. For most people, that meant no coffee. We lived in North Palm Beach Heights, and there was definitely no Starbucks, no Dunkin' Donuts, nothing was open, and so there was a couple days of this. I remember all over our neighborhood in the Heights, there were people outside just milling around because there's no AC. And without their morning Joe, I was shocked. It looked like a scene from The Night of the Living Dead. Zombies. Hollow-eyed corpses. They were shuffling down the street. And they were all going to one house. A lady named Barbara, Barbara's house. She was the only one who had a generator, and you could smell her coffee. It was amazing to me. It was the first time I fully realized that some folks have to have their morning coffee. Maybe that's you. And you make sure you do. I mean, if you think you're getting low, you go to the store the night before. You make sure you have it because it's that important to you. Or what? The day. Oh, talk about a cart pulling you. Everybody knows it. Some of you, it's something else. I hardly ever eat breakfast. I should, but I don't. Some people have to have. Their morning routine is etched in granite, and it begins with breakfast. The smell of hickory-smoked bacon or ham frying in the pan and homemade buttermilk biscuits and toast and butter and jam and those scrambled eggs of fried potatoes and sausage patties and grits and side of gravy and French toast and hot cakes and warm syrup and butter melting over the hot cakes and fruit pastries and muffins and cinnamon oatmeal and hash browns and biscuits and sausage gravy and country fried steak. Cracker Barrel's 15 minutes away, amen. All in favor say aye. Dismissed. Let's go. My dad was like that. He had and loved breakfast. Well, is that your morning?
I'm nothing. I'm a grouch. I'm this, I'm that. If I don't have my breakfast, or if I don't have my coffee.
All right, that's physical. Let's be honest, that's carnal. Nothing wrong with it. But how about this? How about we add to our morning routine the acknowledging and showing forth of God's kindness and God's love to us every day? Literally, start the day out knowing and embracing the truth as the psalmist does. Even in the midst, he is running, as you know. He is running for his life from Saul when he writes this psalm. But what does he think about in the morning?
Oh, it's not fair. It's not right.
He writes about God's mercy. In fact, he sings aloud about God's mercy. The creator of the universe. Start the day out with the idea that the creator of the universe loves you and has shown that love in innumerable acts of kindness. That's what loving kindness, the same word for mercy in the Hebrew, means. You do that, now you'll walk down this path, and some angry lost person or worker of iniquity over here happens to mistreat you or mock a tenet of your faith. Well, so what? The God of the universe loved you and saved you. You have already focused on the mercy of God. How much do you suppose that it really mattered to Paul at Athens when those Greek philosophers laughed at the resurrection? Paul had already met the resurrected Christ and was transformed by his power. But Pastor, my teacher doesn't like me because I'm a Christian. Okay, teenager, the living eternal God loves you. Start out in the morning with that thought. Sing aloud of his mercies. It is a good thing to show forth the mercies of God in the morning. What is mercy? Number one, it's the loving kindness of God. The second thing you'll notice is that mercy, number two, is the long-suffering of God. Matter of fact, long-suffering is the essence of mercy. Because mercy is God being patient. It is God reaching down. So, what happens? What happens when David and Jeremiah and you and I show forth and sing and embrace each and every morning the mercy of patience and forbearance, the long suffering of God? Well, turn ahead a few pages to Psalm 86, just a few pages ahead. This is another chapter, a prayer of David, where he speaks often about the mercy of God. For example, verse 3 says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, I cry unto thee daily." Daily, every single day, the mercy of God. Verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto them that call." I love those words, "ready to forgive," because he's plenteous in mercy. Amen. Verse 13, "For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." And verse 15. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me." In other words, folks, here's David. He's the man after God's own heart. He knows the heart of God. And knowing that God is plenteous in mercy, that God is long-suffering, that God is, verse 5, ready to forgive. Knowing that God is with him at the start of every day, not there just to squish him like a bug. Maybe your dad was like that. Maybe your father. Maybe that's the mental picture you have of a father. And your dad was not long-suffering. Maybe he was short-tempered, short-fused. God is long-suffering toward us, not willing. So you start the morning out recognizing that this is the character of the God who saved you. And he's there with you, not necessarily to smack you down. He's not some temperamental, impatient idol. He's not a capricious, changing Allah. This is the immutable God, who, as Zechariah said in Luke chapter 1, is a God of, quote, tender mercy. The father of John the Baptist recognized in that great prayer, he said, "You are a God of tender, not just mercy, tender mercy. Aren't you glad that God is just like that? Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering toward you? Toward all of us? Because, folks, we need it. We start very early being bad. Like little Emily, she was stealing grapes from her sister. Her grandma called her out and said, "Are you stealing your sister's grapes?" And Emily said, "No, no, Grandma, I'm just helping her share." You know, we're not the most honest creatures on earth. By the way, we're not the smartest people on earth either. Lance was at the library, and he said to the librarian, "I have to read a play by Shakespeare." And the librarian said, "Okay, which one?" And he said, "William." No, we're not that good and we're not that smart. Oh, sometimes we think we are. And because we're not that good and because we're not that smart, I rejoice with Zacharias that, quote, God is a God of what? Tender mercy. And ladies and gentlemen, knowing that in the morning, listen, knowing that at the beginning of the day, your path, you'll be led, not here, toward discouragement, disappointment. You know, I'm a pastor and I get to counsel and be with everybody. But there are some people that you just don't necessarily want to be with. No, I'm just kidding, not him. I love to be with him. There are some people, you know, you don't want to, they're bitter, they're angry, they're discouraged, they never recognize the goodness of God. Well, if you don't start your morning out, you're one of those people. You don't brighten the room when you enter. You brighten the room when you leave. So you start the morning out recognizing that you are loved by a God of tender mercies, of long-suffering, forbearance. And it will lead you to this path. Humility, courage, boldness, compassion to others. Do you know that Christians who understand God's long-suffering are always more patient and merciful and long-suffering to other people? It is those who do not understand and recognize and appreciate and show forth the mercy of God that extend no mercy to anybody else. It is no wonder that Christ was the most merciful. Even this man David, who wrote these imprecatory psalms, he prayed in times in his life in our text about having the heathen in derision and breaking their teeth and so forth. You've read them, but have you noticed that is inasmuch as he prayed these in the mind of God, have you noticed how he always treated them? Saul and Absalom and Shimei. And go down the list. David was merciful. He was long-suffering, singing in the morning. That's what mercy will do. You know, every time that Paul gives a salutation in his epistles, he would say, grace, mercy, and peace. Grace always comes first. But there is no peace without mercy. And so I would say to you this morning, that in the morning, every morning, if you want, you can, and we do at times, start out in fear and pity and anger and bitterness and doubt and despair and angst. It's how you start the day. You have a cart right off the bat that's pulling you. Because in the morning, your mind are on those things. All through the day, you'll be pulled towards the world. You can also start out each day. If this time with God is as important to you as your coffee, or your eggs, or your newspaper, you can start out the day, as the scripture says, mercy in the morning. Remembering that God is patient, that God is good, that God is long-suffering, ready to forgive, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You're being pulled in this direction, and you think, you say, well, is thinking that God is long-suffering and patient mean that I'm going to do what I want? No, the goodness of God leads you to repentance if you understand it in its context. So you know what, if you start out the day like that, when you stumble, When you fail, when you falter, when you stub your toe along the way, you don't run over here. You don't get bitter and angry and run over here and hide like Adam did in the garden. You run over here toward mercy and forgiveness because you know he's ready. You don't want to lose that fellowship. Mercy in the morning, it includes, number one, God's loving kindness. Number two, God's long suffering. Very quickly, number three, it also includes God's light. In other words, God has demonstrated his mercy to us first by giving us light. Do you know how wonderful light is? To me, the single best thing about smartphones, iPhones in general, of all time, is the light. Coming down the stairs, my house. Before I had a cell phone, that when we first moved there, I fell down the stairs twice. I hate to admit it. I have to admit it. One of the stairs is dark, the wood, and so it looks like it's right there, not a step, so I would miss it. I came to church one day with a hematoma right here. Nobody noticed it. A few people did. That's because I hit my head on the wall. Now I have a phone. I love that light. Do you know what a great gift light is? As you're traveling through this very, very dark world, God has given you light through this world. Saul realized it was a part of God's mercy on the road to Damascus. When he saw God's light, he saw the mercy of God, and so have you. God has granted you the light of his truth. Because you know what? God wants you. Think about this. As you go through this day, that represents one day of your pilgrim journey. God has mercifully given you his light, his truth, because he wants you to do well. As his child, he wants you to know the way. He wants you to do his will. So that God's mercy reminds us that we actually belong over here. We belong in the will of God. He wants us in his will. Enlightened, transformed, delivered, faithful, mercy every morning. So I ask you again, how do you as a Christian start your day? What is in your heart? And what's on your mind every single morning? So that you are pulled in that direction, whichever way it is. Well, Pastor, I always start the day with yoga and Tai Chi, and I end the day with Chai Kung and Kabbalah. Movement meditation. Oh, good luck with that. First thing I do in the morning, Pastor, a man told me this once. First thing I do every morning is buy a lotto ticket. Last thing I do every night, scratch it off. It's been my habit ever since I got out of rehab. That's not me, Pastor. I don't do the lottery. First thing I do every morning is read the Palm Beach Post. Whew, that's good. Palm Beach Compost. You know, if you're a believer, you know there is such a thing as truth and light in this dark world. There is such a thing as God's will. Two of the greatest truths in all of the universe are, number one, God loves you. He's merciful, long-suffering, patient. And number two, God is faithful to you. These, if you will, are the bookends of the day. Turn ahead to two more pages and look at Psalm 92 and we'll close. These are the bookends. If you begin your day with mercy, guess how you're going to end it? Psalm 92, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Here's the verse, to show forth thy loving kindness. Exact same Hebrew as mercy. Hebrew word, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. In other words, if you'll start the morning with God's mercy and all that that word really means, biblically, theologically, you will end the day with God's faithfulness. You will see that God was faithful. You know, one of the many memes out there these days is called First World Problems. meaning the first world as opposed to the third world, poverty and such, referring to those of us who live in an affluent and very blessed society. We live in the first world. So there's this meme, first world problems, little whiny people. The typical meme has a picture of a woman, and she's sad, and she's tears have filled her eyes, or it's some man who's despondent, and he's got his head in his hands. And there's these captions. The first world problem caption would say things like, I can't believe I bought a toaster with no bagel setting. I'm so tired of eating at the same restaurants near my job. I have too much dip for my chips, but if I buy another bag, I'll have too many chips for my dip. One of them said, I can't sleep because I slept all day. That's a problem. In other words, first world problems, they're not even problems, they're blessings. I can't swim today because the pool guy didn't clean the pool. It's not a problem. It's a blessing. And ladies and gentlemen, Christians who start their day off without God, and Christians who start their day off especially without recognizing, embracing, showing forth, singing aloud of the mercy of God, everything's a problem. Every person is a burden instead of an opportunity. Every bump is a mountain. Every question is a fear. Evening and morning and at noon will I sing. Will I cry aloud? Will I pray? Mercy in the morning. There are many in this room, in a group this size, many, who have yet to embrace the long-suffering, the mercy of God demonstrated through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. God has sent His Son to die, shed His blood. He was resurrected. He wants to save you from your sins, but you have not accepted Him. In fact, you have rejected Him. Well, today is the day to recognize that He has been merciful to you, to reach out and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Father, thank You again for Your Word and the truths of Your Word that we need, that convict us and encourage us, that strengthen us. I pray, God, as Your people, that You will help us as we go through our lives, our daily lives, to look at these scriptures and these truths, embrace them by faith, Lord, to appropriate them in our hearts and daily lives, in practice, putting feet to them. Help us to be doers, not just hearers of Your word. We'll give You the praise for how it results in glorifying You and glorifying Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Amen. Greet our visitors in fellowship. You're dismissed.